So for the sermon today, then, I would like to have you turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Very simple statement, encouraging words that have been given to the church at Ephesus by the Apostle Paul. He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." A simple sentence, short sentence. And then after that, he gives exhortation to put on the whole armor of God so that the people may be able to stand against the wiles, the scheming, the cunning of the devil. And stressing the truth of who they are fighting against and that it is a spiritual battle. That's also applies to all Christians, to all mankind. And then he follows that in verse 13 by giving a marvelous analogy utilizing the tools of the Roman soldier to compare to the tools of the spiritual soldier and calling these tools the armor of God. Now, I'm not going to be going into the armor of God today, for we have read and heard of it on many occasions. Yet, it is good for us to be frequently reminded of these spiritual tools, so we can constantly be on guard against our spiritual enemies throughout our lives. However, let's expand on Paul's words of verse 10. By looking into the two points, two concepts that he introduced. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So notice three words here. Strong, power, and might. All three words are related in meaning and in the portrayal of what it is that we must do and must strive for in becoming a soldier of God, becoming an ambassador for Christ, becoming a Christian, a son and daughter of God through this time. However, the first thing that we have to realize is this. We do not have the strength, we don't have the power, and we don't have the might in a spiritual battle, as brought out in verse 12, who we're talking about, who we're wrestling against. Remember what Jesus Christ said about himself when he was a flesh and blood human being, as he conducted his ministry upon this face of this earth. In John chapter 5, John chapter 5, verse 19, he said, John 5:19, then Jesus answered and said to them, to the Jews who accused him of breaking the Sabbath and also of blasphemy that he made himself equal with God, he said, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. So the Son can't do anything by himself. He does what the Father does. And in that same manner, in verse 30, he repeats that. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So you can see that Jesus Christ is in tune with his Father, and he has maintained that connection through his ministry, throughout his ministry on this earth. But take a look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. We see especially his awareness of his humanness, of his being a flesh and blood. He knew the weaknesses of the flesh, and especially at this time when he faced a tremendous spiritual battle. Matthew 26, verse 41. 26, verse 41. He was telling his disciples who fell asleep while waiting on him, "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So he knew that. He knew the comparison. He knew what his former state was when he was the Word of God before his birth as the babe in Christ, being the Lamb of God. He knew the weakness of the flesh. And so, with that understanding of our own weaknesses, we do need to follow Paul's admonition of Ephesians 6, verse 10. Be strong. Be strong. And we need to be strong in two things: in the Lord and in the power of His might. So you might say, the sermon title today is "To Be Strong." So the first thing that we want to look at is to be strong in the Lord. The Greek word for strong is endumenao, E-N-D-U-M-A-N-O-O, endumenao. It's a verb meaning to make strong, to strengthen, to render strong, and suggesting strength in soul and in purpose. Other words in this Greek word was translated to are enable, to enable someone, to strength. So also strength is to strengthen. And that's from Bynes' Expository Dictionary of Old and New Testament Words. And then here's the second thing: to be strong in the power of His might. Now, so there are two words we're looking at here: power and might. Greek word for power is kratos, K-R-A-T-O-S. Almost like Krakatoa, right? That was a powerful explosion that occurred back in the late 1800s. Kratos. It's a noun signifying force, strength, might, more especially the manifested power, power that is being manifested through this force of whatever's used. And it also signifies dominion, you know, as a king would have a dominion over his subjects and over a certain amount of land. So it's dominion, and that's the power that a king or the ruler would exercise strength and force, might over. A synonym for this Greek word kratos is dunamis. I'm sure you've heard of that. Dunamis. D-U-N-A-M-I-S. Dunamis. Which also means power, and especially inherent power. It's already there inside of you. It's a part of you. God the Father and Jesus Christ, they certainly have inherent power. They have strength. They have might, force, and dominion. Many scriptures speak to these qualities of their being. And the Greek word for might now, this other one that we're talking about, is iskus, I-S-K-U-S. Not excuse, but iskus. Iskus. It's a noun meaning might, strength, power, inherent and in action, as used by God, and using the same source information, Vine's Expository Dictionary. Now, as we look at these two categories, let's consider the first one, to be strong in the Lord, after looking at these words and the Greek words that were translated. The Father has called us at this time. He's called us at this time, in this age, And he has put us into his church, which is an embryo of the family of God, because he, in his great wisdom, as he looks down upon the sea of humanity on this planet, in his great wisdom, he's determined in his role as a master potter that he can work with us individually as individual lumps of clay to create an awesome product. An awesome product that would fit into his master plan now and on into the future. So, we're being molded. We're being formed and shaped now. Squeeze here, the other parts up there. Whatever. He knows how to work with that clay. And he shaves off some of it that doesn't need. And we submit to that. We are being molded now into a spiritual creation that will have godly character that'll last forever. That's what God seeks. Human beings who desire and who make the effort to change their lives and to attain, to assimilate, to act and use God's power to have and exhibit godly character through their activity with God, also with their fellow man. Jesus did tell us this in John 16. We'll turn there to John 16. Now, as we think about that, being molded, being squeezed here and there, being shaped, he did say this in John chapter 16. Verse 33. This is part of his discourse with the disciples after the Passover meal that he shared with them and instituted the new symbols of the bread and of the wine to symbolize his sacrifice. He said in John 16, verse 33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." So we can look to him. And with that, that is a source that we can look to when we need peace and we can have peace. "In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And so you can see we have someone we can look to. We have someone who knows the process, someone who can give us that comfort and also the strength through the tribulation times. Now, we have faced, and we will continue to face battles that are spiritual in nature. Through each one of those battles, we are tested. We're tested in matters of our faith in God's strength, of our reliance upon his power. And then, as we go through each one, we grow as we endure through each one of them. And that growth enables us to be strong in the Lord, to be strong for his cause, to be strong in his purpose, as we continue to focus then upon that calling, why he's called us, what he's doing. We are strengthened because we are looking and focusing upon the big picture of Jesus Christ as our high priest and of God the Father creating a family. Consider the example of Abraham. You know, Paul wrote about Abraham in Romans chapter 4. You can read through those words in Romans chapter 4. It was beginning with, in fact, it was an entire chapter of Romans 4 talking of Abraham, where Abraham was justified by faith because Abraham believed God and God accounted to Abraham this belief to be righteousness. But as you read through these words, You're going to see the faith of Abraham that Paul's writing about, his reliance upon that promise, on the promises of God, and you will begin to, and you will see and understand verse 20, where it said about Abraham, he did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong. That's that Greek word, endumenao. He was empowered. He was enabled in his faith, in faith, and he gave glory to God. That was King James Version. New King James said, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced, fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And that shows the heart, the mind, the compassion, or not compassion, but passion that Abraham had for his relationship with God. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, all this experience of Abraham recorded, as it said in verse 23. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, that is, the righteousness, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Then we go into chapter 5, continuing Paul's discourse. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance or patience, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. So God has bestowed upon us this power, this help, as Christ said in John 14, I will not leave you orphans. I will give you, I will be with you, and I will give you this help and this power. I am your advocate. So there's our realization of that, is our becoming enabled, empowered to believe that, and we can become strong in the Lord. For when we were still without strength in due time, in verse 6, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath, which is the second death. We'll be saved from the second death through him, through Jesus Christ. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So now that he is acting as our high priest, he is alive, he is working with us, and he is our mediator and working in our behalf. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation or the atonement. Now, I'd like to digress here a little bit. Are any of you familiar with the term mechanical advantage? Mechanical advantage. There's some of you are, and some of you who can work with automobile engines. How do they get those engines out of those cars? You know, they have those, you know, machines, and they got these things, and it just jacks them right out after they loosen the bolts. Well, I tell you another way of something about mechanical advantage. When I was about 15 or 16, my dad and I were working on the property, clearing out a few stumps to gain a clear area of ground. Dad liked to plant potatoes in new ground, and so he would use that. And then he used to work in the woods, and he had some steel cable and a few pulleys that he could use in removing stumps and clearing the land. So when we had this stubborn stump here, and when we used just a tractor only and with the steel cable and tied it around the stump, hooked it up, choker setter. We find out the power of the tractor just isn't enough to pull that stump out. It'll dig a hole in the ground, you know, under those big wheels that are just grinding up the dirt. So this stubborn stump had to face a different solution. So Dad would use the pulleys and running the cable through them in such a manner to make use of the principle of mechanical advantage. Do double or triple or quadruple the power of the tractor to pull out the stubborn stumps. And that made the job easy, so much more easy. It's all in the knowledge of how to utilize the pulleys and utilize where you tie down one end of the cable to something that was solid. And then the tractor, I was driving the tractor and start, and I'd go like for 100 feet, and that stump would just barely pull out of the ground. But it was a lot of distance, but it was so easy. That stump just popped right out. And so, now God has made available to us something that I would call spiritual advantage. Let's put it on a spiritual plane, a spiritual advantage. Our being reconciled to Him and His dwelling in us through the power of His Holy Spirit, which was given to us to help us to overcome the stubborn stumps that we run into when we face and we go through trials, tribulations, problems. And how do we get around them? Well, we can use the spiritual advantage. It's appreciated Mr. Crowell's message this morning. Kind of ties in. And the exercise of his prayer was one of the tools of spiritual advantage. Now, Paul knew this tool, and he used God's spiritual advantage and shared that with the Philippians. And when he said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that word again is endumenao, who enabled me. Jesus Christ, our connection there. He's the one that is the fixed point to which we tie our cable to. And he's the one who supplies the cables that we run so many times to gain the double, the triple, the quadruple, whatever power necessary to help us in our efforts to overcome. So, brethren, keep on being strong in the Lord, focusing on God's power, what He has done for us, being strong. Remember, too, that we do not have the strength, that we do not have the power, and that we don't have the might to do it on our own, but that God empowers and enables us to focus on Him and His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our High Priest. our advocate. Now the second thing that we look at today is to be strong in the power of his might. Now here, Paul is encouraging the brethren to be strengthened in the knowledge of the great vigor and capability that God and Jesus Christ have. I went back into the websites that called up a certain article. I remember one article reading The Plain Truth years ago. The title of it is, How You Can Be Imbued with the Power of God. And it was written by Dr. Hay. And then there was another article that was written back in 1958. And then there were other articles. It was written 25 years later, also talking about the use of God's power. But these articles and others speak to the power of God. And they also spoke about the awesome power that he used in creating the universe. His power is far greater than the sum total of the energies of the universe. That's one of the, what is that, the laws of, let me think, laws of thermodynamics, that the energy doesn't change within the universe. It's, you know, there's different forms, but the sum total is one constant amount of energy. God's energy and power is far greater than the sum total of the energies of the universe. It's something that we can take comfort in, knowing that here we have a being that we worship, that we can make connection to, we can talk to, and we listen. He talks to us, you know, through these words and through the articles, through the sermons, sermonettes, even with our own fellowshipping. We learn, and God talks through us, helping one another. And we then begin to comprehend, and we grow in our comprehension of the immense power of our Creator. But let's see several scriptures now that reveal to us the strength of faith and conviction, the strength of faith and conviction that Paul and Peter had in the power of his might, using that phrase, the power of his might, where they became strong in that. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Interesting what these thoughts of Paul, as he writes them, shares them with the church brethren. Romans 1 verse 16. Paul said, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And then look what he equated it to. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. That's interesting. Paul's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He's not ashamed of the gospel of the kingdom of God, which Jesus Christ talked about. He's not ashamed of the whole purpose of God to present this message for human beings to hear and understand. He also understood, too, that it's up to the Father who's going to open the minds of individual beings, human beings, at their time when it's good. God has that wisdom. He knows when a person will be, shall we say, ripe for the plucking and be able to understand his words a little bit at a time, and it grows in there. That is an awesome ability. It's an awesome power that God has, a capability to bring about his purpose in building a family. And that God the Father is awaiting the time when Jesus will finally come to that point when he delivers the kingdom to the Father. 1 Corinthians 15, we see that. It's part of the resurrection chapter. This time that will come in the future. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. Then, when all is said and done, then comes the end, when he, Jesus Christ, delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. So we're talking about enemies that have also have rule, powers, and authorities. That will be put to an end. It'll be God, the Father, Christ, the bridegroom, and the bride of Christ, and the children, the family, the whole kingdom will come together. God is awaits that time. In Ephesians chapter 1, here we see another discourse of Paul in which he reveals about himself and his thinking about the gospel of God, gospel of the kingdom of God, and his strength in that belief of God's power and might. Ephesians 1 verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And then he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Yep, one long sentence. A lot of thoughts and concept being put here in Paul's prayers and his thinking, his encouragement of the brethren. And he was also referring to the certain tenets of the gospel of the kingdom of God, talking about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, talking about the gift of God's Spirit being given to people whose eyes were enlightened and understanding would be increased, and who were being given power so that that understanding can increase, and also given power to appreciate and to become stronger in the belief of what God is doing in not only in their own lives, but in the lives of many others for all the world. In Ephesians chapter 3, we see more information here where Paul had reference to his tribulation in verse 13 of Ephesians 3. He said to the brethren, therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that, again he puts in phrases, puts in thoughts, individual points, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That is possible by the power of God's Spirit dwelling in us. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able or strong, same word, that you may be strong. In other words, it's a forceful connection here, a connotation. You may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Powerful words. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. That speaks to that great power that God and Christ have. Exceedingly abundantly. They have this capability above all that we ask or think. It's beyond our comprehension if we try to think. Beyond our comprehension. They know what we need. And we don't. But they will supply it for us and help us on our way. According to the power that works in us, which is God's Holy Spirit. To him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. So you can see how Paul was just filled with the belief and the strength, the knowledge of God's power and of God's might, of his capability. Here's another short story that I'd like to share with you. And it has to deal with the knowledge of a power, of the explosive force that we know that God has. It can be controlled. It can be used. Again, it's about getting rid of stumps. It's about getting rid of stumps on as we clear the land. This has happened before I was born, or perhaps right in those infant years. I heard this from my brothers who were witnesses to the event. With an auger, yay, about that diameter, and Dad would burl and pull out and make a hole underneath the stump into the ground where there, all the roots were spreading out. And he would put it in there and put it in a certain dimension. The auger was like 4 feet long, 5 feet. And he pulled out all this nice fresh dirt from underneath there. And then it was a nice pile in front of the stump. And of course you can imagine what's in that dirt. What's usually there? Worms and bugs and all of that. Okay. So then Dad took a stick of dynamite. And then he connects the fuse, the length of fuse, to it. And he slips it down into the hole. And then he had the length out. And then he got to a safe distance where he could light that fuse and walk away and be at a safe distance. So he lights it. And then he watches it. Well, what do you expect when they have a bunch of chickens that are running loose, free-range chickens? Oh, they all saw that lovely pile of dirt with worms. They come scurrying over there to enjoy worms and bugs and whatever else is there. Dad could not do a thing. He couldn't do a thing. Kablooey! And there were chicken parts and feathers flying all over the place. Dad knew that power was there. He couldn't do anything more about it. But the stump was loosened from the ground, and he could get it out. So he paid a few things. Paid the price of a few chickens, eggs, whatever. But my brothers remembered and told me that story, and they laughed about it. It's part of family history. Blown chickens. Anyway, the point is that we knew the power. He knew the power of that dynamite. And when you think about dunamis, that's the same word as dynamo. You know, the electrical power, or dynamite, yeah? That's the same thing. It's power that's there. Well, God's power is exceedingly dynamite, tremendous, but he knows how to use it. He knows when he can use it and uses it for a good purpose. Now, here's the words of the Apostle Peter, his particular passion in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's begin with verse 3 and going on through verse 9. Here Peter is comparing this life's, you know, human flesh and blood life, the trials, to what God desires to give us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living or lively hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So Peter, he makes that connection of our being strong in the Lord and also strong in the power of his might, so that we may receive the promise of the gift of eternal life that God so desires all mankind to receive. Something that we cannot earn, but it's a wonderful gift that God has in store. And verse 6. In this message, in what we have learned, what we're now a part of, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. It's all part of the process. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of the goal, the promise of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So we also can have this same strength of faith, the same strength of conviction that Paul and Peter had, and what they shared with, and what they were inspired to write. We can have that same power in our own lives, and we can have that strength as well, as we are a part of the body of Christ, the Church of God, in the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of God. We are encouraged to take part in that commission through our prayers for the mission of the church, through our prayers for one another, through our daily study of God's word and meditating upon it, and through our occasional fasting for the work, for the brethren, and even for times we need to overcome the faults of our being human. And so, when we go to Ephesians 6, verse 10, we read again, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." You can think about that phrase and you can realize with the expansion of the concepts. And then as you go into the following verses are talking about the whole armor of God. And you think about taking up that armor, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the gospel of the kingdom of God, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. You look at all of those that are a part of the Roman soldier. Every one of those items are items that are used for the defense, defending and protecting his body. And then you get into the sword of the Spirit in verse 17 of Ephesians 6, the second part. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all... Here's another command. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. In other words, the goal of becoming a member of God's family, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, the Apostle Paul. Today, it'll be for those who write the articles in the Good News magazine, the blogs, the stuff that goes on to the website, Vertical Thought magazines, Beyond Today programming. All of that is a part of our prayer for this quote, me, the church, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And as Paul said, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. To speak boldly, to make known the mystery of the kingdom of God, the gospel, which is equated to the power of God. I had a thought that went through my mind, and pardon me for my senior moment, but I guess that will fly by. But anyway, it is this whole armor that we... Oh, yes, that's what the thought is. The sword of God. What does the sword do? It's a defense mechanism as well. It stops the strikes of the other guy's sword. But it also is an offensive weapon. It can be used to take down your enemies. Word of God. And rely on that word of God. You rely on the power of God. You rely, put your strength in God. You put your strength in the power of His might, because we can't do it of ourselves. So, as I finished the sermon here with this final scripture, Ephesians 6, verse 10, but in the century, or rather, in the contemporary English version. Finally, let the mighty strength of the Lord make you strong.